Well, the virus has now killed more than 100 people in China, and new cases have been confirmed around the world.
So you don't want to frighten the American public.
France and South Korea have also got evacuation plans.
But you need to prepare for and assume,
strongly warning Americans to avoid all non-essential travel to China,
that this is going to be a real serious problem.
France, Australia, Canada, the US, Singapore, Cambodia, Vietnam, the list goes on.
Health officials are investigating more than 100 possible cases in the US.
Germany, a man has contracted the virus.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
Japan, where a bus driver contracted the virus.
Coronavirus has killed more than 100 people there and infected more than 4,500.
We have to prepare for the worst, always, because if you don't and the worst happens.
War Room, Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, I want to welcome everybody back. It's Wednesday, the 9th of June, the year of our Lord, 2021. You're in the War Room. We're on every distribution platform in the world. You can go to warroom.org. You can get all the different apps, whether it's Real America's Voice, all the other different apps. You take your pick, get in one, get in a chat room, get to give us commentary. We monitor it nonstop for what people is going on. So make sure you go to warroom.org. Raheem, is that anything else we should add about how people get access to the show before we bring our next guest?
Oh, I just think people really need to subscribe on Rumble as well. It's such a great and growing platform. I know that there's much more in the pipeline for Rumble and live broadcasts and all of that. And we have such a large account there that I want people to be able to go there and share things and be a part of that community too.
Fantastic. Also, is a big one on Telegram too, I think, also. So you got Telegram, you got Rumble. Just go to warroom.org. I think we've got them all up that you can get there. So the Real America's Voice got a great community. These cadres, posses, and communities are building every day, and that's what we're trying to do, is give people a centerpiece. We provide the information. You guys, you take it. It's action, action, action. So there's so much going on we're going to get to in this hour. We want to pivot because we want to do signal and not noise. For this second hour, about a topic that's coming up. If you look downrange, we haven't gotten to the firestorm over mass, the firestorm over critical race theory in the schools, right? What has led to this taking the country back village by village, school board by school board? Dan Schultz's precinct committeeman strategy, and everyone in the audience has to go to precinctstrategy.com. If you want to become a patriot like happened in South Carolina and in Georgia, and reach out to people in these chat rooms, ask the people, and people in Georgia, I know there was thousands there that were War Room things. Please go into the chat rooms. Please go in the live chats and give your experiences. Tell people what it's like and tell people how it feels to be empowered where you're actually in charge. That's what's happening in this country. We want to give you signal, not noise, because The main event hasn't arrived. The main event is now upon us, and that main event is the vaccines in the vaccine passports. And I'm not an anti-vaxxer, okay? First off, as a kid, but more importantly, in the military, you didn't really have a choice. So I know a lot of anti-vaxxers. I hear the arguments. I'm certainly vaccine hesitant, right? Because I don't actually understand the logic of what they're talking about, right, of how they actually get there. Particularly when you're talking about people that have had the, you know, now they're admitting if you've had the virus before, you don't need it. But it just seems to me so much misinformation in such a forced way. They're trying to get people incentivized even by giving $1 million, free college. And of course, the vaccine rates are collapsing. That's why you're going to see this fall. And Fauci, we're the ones that broke it on that AP story. Fauci saying, hey, the kids are all going to be, the 12 to 15s are going to start being vaccinated as soon as they get back to school. And his quote, the children will be vaccinated by the end of the year, and that'll get them up to the herd immunity, because you need 80 or 90% of the people vaxxed, whereas they don't calculate the basic thing of herd immunity from the very first day of the show was the natural immunity that builds up from having the virus. So it's nothing but a constant bombardment of information that just doesn't make sense, and that's where the common sense of the American people are going to say, hey. And that's where you're seeing these mothers stand up now for the mass situation and for critical race theory. You have not seen the firestorm when you start to either have forced vaccinations of the children, or the children are kind of othered by not having the vaccination. So we want to get back to it. And that's the first guest we reached out, somebody we've kind of studied what everything he said online and other things. It's Mike Yeadon, joins us from England. He was on the other day. Mike, just to start off with, because we always like to tell people, hey, if it's about the election, fraud. We want to make sure it's in a court case or make sure it's something sanctioned by a state legislature. It's just not people on YouTube or people throwing out concepts and ideas. This actually has a place to adjudicate it. We have to show evidence. I want to make sure you worked at Pfizer, but I want you to walk through briefly your academic background, your work at Pfizer, and then afterwards you started your own company. I think sold it for $350 million, a biotech company. Walk through your bona fides in this area, sir.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you very much, Steve, for having me back again. So, yes, Dr. Mike Eden, my first degree is a joint honors biochemistry and toxicology. And I got not just a first class honors, I got the highest first class the university ever awarded. I followed that by a 3-year research-based PhD. That was respiratory pharmacology. It was partly funded, actually, by the military. After that PhD, I worked for 7 years at the Wellcome Research Labs until they merged with Glaxo, which went on to become GSK. And at that time, I went to Pfizer in the UK, and I was there 17 years. I finished as their vice president and chief scientist of allergy and respiratory research. So I was responsible for the worldwide research and development up to clinical proof of concept across the whole company. And then after that, I left them 10 years ago on very good terms, by the way. I loved working with Pfizer. For the last 10 years, 5 of those years, I started, raised all the money for and led as CEO a biotech called Ziarko. We acquired a compound from my former portfolio at Pfizer that was surplus. We converted it into a dermatology asset, and we sold it to Novartis, the world's biggest drug company, for roughly $350 million. At least that's the rumored sum. I'm not allowed to tell you the actual sum, but it was pretty good. And then along in that 10 years, I've consulted to 30 startup biotech companies, 2 of which are now public: Apellis Pharmaceuticals and Pulmatrix.
So if I had, as an investment banker, my Goldman Sachs hat, if we had to reach out to a consultant on an M&A project, you would consider yourself to be among the top practitioners in the world, not just theoreticians in universities, but people that actually go to work for these big pharmaceutical companies and actually have to take theoretical science and use applied research to actually get products in the field, correct? That is, I would take it, your specialty?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. So we originated programs in-house, but I also led for 10 years the in-licensing team at Pfizer. So we reviewed 100 companies in that 10 years, and we did 3 deals.
Perfect. This is that. Okay. My point. This is a guy that's not some guy up on YouTube talking smack. This is one of the top professionals in the world from the heart of the industry. This is what we call a subject matter expert with credentials that cannot be questioned, because it's just, they're so on every level, whether it's the academic background, the years at the big corporations, grinding it out, going out as an entrepreneur, really doing a lot what he did in the lab, creating a great company, selling, and everyone, whether it's Glaxo or Wellcome or Novartis or Pfizer, this is the creme de la creme. You're playing at the highest level, okay? So, yeah. Dr. Mike Eden, I then want to go through, make your case about your problem as a professional about this whole vaccine problem, how it originated, where we stand, and where you think it's headed, sir.
Yeah, certainly. I can do that quickly. So I'm very pro vaccines. I'm particularly pro safe medicines. And my biggest beef with the vaccines includes serious concerns about safety. But I've just got 3 points to make about the vaccines. In absolute honesty, I don't think they're even necessary. Why are they not necessary? Well, that's because there are at least 4 or 5 safe and effective medicines, and their presence has been suppressed and hidden from the public. So they're not really necessary. The next is, it's not even clear if they're effective enough. The trials have been done in a really strange way, where they used, say, PCR positivity as the endpoint with one minor symptom. So most people think if a vaccine works, it saves you from serious disease or death. And those things were not measured in the trial. So I'm not saying they don't work. I'm saying the data is not clear. And then finally, they have not been sufficiently tested. They have been approved for emergency use, fraudulently in my view, because they shouldn't do it if there are safe and effective medicines, and there are, they've just been hidden. So it's an emergency use only, and that means they've been plucked from the middle of late stage development. They've still got about 1.5 years of clinical phase to run, and they normally collect safety information as well as efficacy information. We don't have that data because we're already out inoculating a billion people. But along the way, we've gathered some safety concerns, Steve.
Okay. Hang on a second, Dr. Yeah, I want to go back to something because you come from the industry and you've actually made money on things that relate to vaccines. You say you're pro-vaccine, right? You're not an anti-vaxxer crusader.
Absolutely.
You're not even vaccine hesitant if it's proper. But I want to go back to your first point, because this is where people say, hey, I see on TV and I see all these prominent scientists and they work with all these big companies and they seem like solid citizens. And in the managerial expert world we live in, they're presented by experts, by NBC and CNN and Time Warner and the New York Times, and all this, expert after expert. I want to go back to your first point. You said it was suppressed. What are the two or three things you think work? Why do you think they work? And why were they suppressed?
Okay, so hydroxychloroquine is a very common one, and it reduces viral replication. So when it's given at the early stages of infection, it definitely reduces the viral load in a person, makes it less likely they will progress. Sometimes they add zinc as well, because the hydroxychloroquine works by letting zinc into cells. Another major one is ivermectin, which is an off-patent antiparasitic. It also happens to have antiviral effects as well. Then the last two, I guess, would be azithromycin, which is an off-patent antimicrobial, but it also has anti-inflammatory properties, which we knew about. And then finally, inhaled steroids like budesonide that are commonly used in asthma. If you have those four drugs, Dr. Peter McCullen believes that almost no one who isn't right at the end of life needs to die of this virus. And why have they been suppressed? Steve, I don't know, but I think it's part of a fraud. I was on last week and I told you that all the main narrative points about the virus are, so we say, adjacent to the truth, lies, frankly, designed to make people fearful. And I think suppressing the drugs, the treatments, has had two benefits for whoever's doing this. One is it makes people willing to take the vaccine, and it makes vaccines available much earlier than they otherwise would and should have been. So that's probably the motivation.
Let me add, because look, some of our stuff was taken down back in the spring, and some of, we would have some of the experts on here about hydroxy, ivermectin, the very things you're talking about, not the steroids, but the first three. You know, we'd be taking down our Twitter account. How did the social media companies, what was their rationale, and what expert opinions did you ever hear of people that could back up everything that this was all voodoo, witchcraft, dangerous?
Yeah, I wasn't very close to this while it was going on. I was focusing last year on PCR testing, but I had a very good friend, a physician, Dr. Tess Laurie in the UK, and she was reporting that they were writing up reviews of, you know, collected clinical information from around the world, and it was clear in her case that ivermectin was working really well, and they were literally suppressing the manuscripts at journal level. So I'm talking about medical journals that you would think of as being beyond reproach. Someone was leaning on them and refusing to publish papers that were written to at least the same quality as everything else they were publishing. So I'm afraid it was just, they were tortured.
But Dr. Yeadon, science goes forward today with peer-reviewed journals. That's kind of the high priesthood. It's kind of the high priesthood of scientific knowledge. How could the high priesthood be corrupted? Because essentially what you're saying is, even at that level, that there was suppression from outside. What outside forces do you believe? We got about 30 seconds. What outside forces do you think got into the temple?
I think journals have been provided with a lot of money, sometimes actually acquired by interests that are now being manifest. And almost all scientists everywhere outside of industry, if they're in universities, they have to beg, steal and borrow for their grants. So all the major granting bodies are also, I think, part of the pressurizing of this system. Scientific review only works when you release the pressure, and there's a lot of pressure on these people.
Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break. We're going to return with Dr. Michael Yeadon. Mike Yeadon was a senior scientist at Pfizer, one of the senior researchers, chief scientist for a number of areas, impeccable credentials. We're going to return with his thoughts on the coming vaccine crisis next in the War Room.
We will fight till they're all gone. We rejoice when there's no more. Let's take-
The Biden administration has the pedal to the floor in this economic and finance plan that is total and absolute madness. Trillions of dollars of spending and no way to finance it. They're trying to cut taxes for corporation. The Chinese and the Japanese have all the bonds they want. So what do they have to do? They have to print money. Here's what you need to do to take care of your financial future. You need to talk to the experts in precious metals, gold and silver. Who is that? Birch Gold. They have an A-plus rating by the Better Business Bureau. Now, how do you get there? It's very simple. You're going to text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, at the following number, 484848. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, at 484848. You're going to get a 20-page brochure that walks you everything through gold and silver you need to know. In addition, you're going to be able to have access to a Birch Gold specialist. Look, we are in very uncertain times. You cannot risk your retirement. You need to consider gold and silver in your investment alternatives. Go to Birch Gold today by going to Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, at 484848. That is text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, at 484848. Don't hesitate. Use your agency. Action, action, action. Don't do it today. Do it right now.
War Room. Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room. Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, whether you think this is a bioweapon from the Wuhan lab or you think it's a total and complete hoax, the one thing we've learned together in this journey over the last, 18 months, is that you have to boost your immune system, and only you can do it. This whole show is about human agency and human action. Go to warroomdefense.com today. We have the free vitamin D3 and zinc. You got to pay shipping and handling. But more importantly, get access to information about how you boost your immune system and what you need to do it. The work on oneself begins with oneself. Take action today. Also want to thank MyPillow.com. Go to MyPillow.com, type in promo code WARROOM, check out the Total Sleep System. It's the latest invention coming out of the guys at the men and women at MyPillow, one of the great American companies. You got a scientific R&D mattress, state-of-the-art, pillows, sheets, all of it, 30% off by typing in promo code WARROOM, 10-year guarantee. But more importantly, if you don't love it, and I don't mean like, if you like it, send it back. If you love it, keep it. But in 6 months, you get full cash back, money back guarantee from Mike Lindell and the team. Okay, I want to return now to Dr. Mike Yeadon, formerly of Pfizer. Dr. Yeadon, there's going to be a fire. I don't know about the rest of the world, but I can guarantee you there's going to be a firestorm starting in August in this nation, the United States of America, when the mothers in this country that have already been up on this whole mask situation and critical race theory at the school board level, when they go back, and according to Dr. Fauci, this is not Stephen K. Bannon, this is Fauci's interviews with Savannah Guthrie at the morning show at NBC, the Today Show, also what he told the AP, that they're going to start vaccinating the 12 to 15-year-olds, the kids in middle school and high school, as soon as they get back in the fall, and that the school children will be vaccinated by the end of the year. His words, not Bannon's. I want you to walk through. There's going to be a firestorm because this is not the anti-vax crowd. I'm talking about the vaccine-hesitant mothers, right, joined with the anti-vaxxers. But and that's, to me, is two-thirds of the country, two-thirds of the mothers. Walk us through your thoughts about this vaccine, particularly for adolescents and for school-aged children and younger.
Yeah, certainly. So just to reiterate, I'm of the industry my whole career, and I'm generally pro-vaccine, but I'm pro-safety, and these COVID-19 vaccines are not safe. Very briefly, they're not safe because the gene-based design makes your body manufacture virus spike protein. And we know, and we've known for years, that virus spike proteins trigger blood clots. So there's plenty of literature. No one can fault the statement I've just made. And Dr. Vodarg and I wrote to the European Medicines Agency in December pointing that out. So that's a fundamental problem. About 75% of the adverse events that occur after vaccination, which are very much higher than usual, relate to thromboembolic events, that is blood clots and bleeding. So what I've just said about the design and the property of spike protein exactly matches these serious adverse events that are emerging. Now, here's the real problem I've got, Steve, and I'm a father and a grandfather. Young people are not susceptible to COVID-19. if they acquire the virus, they usually have no symptoms and they shrug it off very easily. So they're not at risk. It's a crazy thing then to vaccinate them with something that is actually 50 times more likely to kill them than the virus itself. That statement.
Okay. Hang on for a second. People are going to see, and look, I'm sure we're going to get grief from everybody, but, and I wanted you to back this up. People look on television, they see the government, they see it from the White House, but they see it on every network from morning to night. They see celebrities now, but more importantly, the celebrities are the TV personalities. They see people in white coats. They see scientists from the best universities in the world, okay, that absolutely are counter to what you're saying. They're saying, number one, this is safe, and number two, it is a necessity. It's safe and it's necessary. So I just want to go back. When you have so many prominent people, and I don't want to talk about what their intentions are, why they're doing it, but I want you to counter that with, I want you to point to facts, evidence, data that supports it's, they're not safe, number one, and number two, they're not necessary.
Absolutely. So on the not safe, you've got a pretty good adverse event monitoring system in the US. Perfect, but the VAERS system, I think, is at least transparent and anyone can enter. So at any stage over the last decade or so, if anyone has an adverse effect after vaccination with whatever vaccine, then they or a physician can enter a report. And we know that it only captures a low frequency of the adverse events. What we know, though, is if you look from about January of this year and compare month by month with any other month in the previous 10 years, the number of serious adverse events reported after COVID-19 vaccines is just enormous. I think it's between 50 and 100 times higher than previously. That's not my data. It's the US public data that any watcher can go and check in 5 minutes for themselves and check that I'm telling you the truth. And the serious adverse event I'm most concerned with is death. And I think you're running between 4,500 and 5,000 deaths in the last 6 months. You normally run at 200 a year for all vaccines combined.
Let me ask you one, the criticism that, oh, VAERS is just a raw data. You can't, because you see them coming on TV all the time. That's just raw data. And the guys are using that because they can cherry pick that. How do you defend the criticism that you're just cherry picking the data? That's all just raw. It's not filtered. It's not checked out. How do you counter that?
Yeah. So it is always raw. So basically, it's an all-comers system. There is no reason at all why more people would be reporting side effects now than previously. In fact, I would say it's less likely. I know personally of many people who've had, you know, minor side effects, pains in the leg or chest. That's not that that's minor. And their physician told them, no, absolutely not linked. Don't bother to report it in the UK yellow card system, which is the equivalent of VAERS. So there's no reason anyone can point to that says that the run rate, you know, the reporting rate is going to be different after this vaccine than any other, if anything, on the downside. And yet the number of deaths per million vaccinations is running a small difference. It's appalling, bluntly, as someone of the industry. These should all have been withdrawn a long time ago. I think a count of 50 deaths associated with a product would pretty much kill any 4,500 in the U.S. alone.
Okay. Look, you spent a good portion of your adult life with a place you said you loved. And actually, you learned a lot. You went on to be a very successful entrepreneur of that. You never had any complaints. You were there. You left under good terms. Why would a place, an institution that when you were there stood for the highest, you know, quality and folks trying to do what's their best thing, why would that institution turn to basically support something that you now say is not safe?
I have no explanation. So all I can say is I do not recognize the behavior of any of the pharmaceutical companies specifically in respect of the COVID-19 vaccines. I'm afraid they're all behaving badly, and I have no idea why they're doing it.
Let's go back to this not necessary, your second point. Point to me the data for both adolescents and school children. And children, why do you say, Dr. Mike Eden, that these are not necessary to have them vaccinated at all?
Yes. So one of the things I mentioned last week is that there was an exaggeration about the lethality of this virus. You know, a couple of things. You know, one is it was, you know, much worse than anything we've seen before. and second, that almost everybody was susceptible. Now, the reality is it is worse for our seniors, people over 70 who already have chronic illnesses of some kind. They are at greater risk of becoming ill and dying. But if you're younger than 70, here's the point, and this came from one of your best published, Dr. Ioannidis, I think, of Stanford. And he has shown that if you're under 70 and otherwise fit and well, you're at less risk from COVID-19 mortality than from influenza. And this continues as you get younger and younger, the gap grows. So with young children under 15, they're much more likely to die of seasonal influenza than COVID-19. It's a rare event, but it does occur with influenza. But in Britain, for example, I think there wasn't a single child under 13 or 14 who was previously well, not a single one who died, not one. So they're not, healthy young children are not at risk from dying from this virus. And consequently, you shouldn't give them a medical intervention, let alone one, unfortunately, that does have these safety liabilities, which I think are caused by design, by making your body express this coagulant spike protein.
Dr. Eden, we only got about a minute left. What would you recommend to the mothers out there, mothers and fathers, but particularly mothers, to get more information to make their own judgment? What would you recommend they go to? Where do you recommend they go to get more information about this?
I would go to the website of the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. You'll find good information by Dr. Peter McCulloch, one of America's most famous cardiorenal specialists, and he and his team have put together some good guidelines on treatment and on risks. But finally, I would say, don't allow your children to be given this vaccine. They do not need it, and I think it's dangerous for them.
Dr. Eden, how do people get more access to you? Social media, YouTube, all that. How do they get website? How do they get to you?
I found that I've been so heavily censored that I don't run my own website, but there's a guy called Robin Monotti, M-O-N-O-T-T-I. He's got a great Telegram site, and I tend to push stuff out through Robin's portal.
Okay, Raheem, we'll put that in the thing. Dr. Eden, I want to thank you for taking the time today. It's been extraordinary. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break. We're going to go to Germany next. From the UK, we're going to go to Germany, talk to Rainer Fulmuck. He's a lawyer that's laying out the groundwork for a global Nuremberg trial about all this. You're going to see the logic behind what he's trying to do. You get to make your own decisions, but he's going to walk you through chapter and verse of what he's attempting to accomplish next in the War Room.
Everything's just beginning, but the games you want to play. Bring it on and I will fight to the end. Just watch and see. It's all started, everything's begun. And you are over, 'cause we're taking down the CCP. Spread the word all through Hong Kong. We will fight till they're all gone. We rejoice when there's no more. Let's take down the CCP.
If you're a patriot warrior, we need you as a health warrior. So we set up a new site. We've procured now a million bottles of D3, vitamin D3, and also a million bottles of zinc. This is the start of our War Room Defense Pack. If you're out there in this audience, you need this. You need to go look at it, check out the site, and sign up. Go to warroomdefense.com. That's one word, warroomdefense.com. Need everybody in the live chat, everybody listening to this podcast later, go to warroomdefense.com. We need you healthy. We need you on point. We need you with the energy that you hear every day coming out of the War Room. The way to do this is become part of this program. Like I said, we got a million bottles of vitamin D3, a million bottles of zinc. It's all yours for free. Go today, check it out, make an informed decision if you want to sign up, but we need everybody to go check it out right now, warroomdefense.com. By the way, we're a platform for action, action, action. We're here about your agency. That, and quite frankly, that's what the becoming a health warrior is about, your agency and about the agency over a long period of time. Go to warroomdefense.com and sign up today for the War Room Defense Pack. Go there today. We need health warriors. You need to go there today. Everybody in the audience needs to go to War Room Defense. That's one word, warroomdefense.com. Go there today. Today?
No, I'm still in
War Room Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room. Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, welcome back. We're now going to go to Germany from the United Kingdom. We're going to go to Germany and Rainer Fulmick. He's the lawyer that's putting together this global case. Rainer, I want to start. You've taken on two of the biggest institutions in the world, one of the biggest manufacturing institutions in Volkswagen and one of the biggest financial institutions in Deutsche Bank. In both of those, you don't go on these kind of quixotic journeys that could be maybe because of the time and effort and cost of doing it. You have to go at some point in time, you actually have to go into a courtroom with evidence, and you have to, in that court, show that evidence, marshal that evidence, and convince people, you know, beyond reasonable doubt, that your theory of the case makes sense, backed up by data, fact, science-based reality. And you've done that in two of the most difficult cases in modern times, both Volkswagen and Deutsche Bank. So this is the part two of the, because what you're working on, of all the stuff I look at, and I include transhumanism and even the UFO stuff, which we're going to get much more into, this actually almost blows my mind more, because those others are kind of in different areas that we're just now getting to understand fully what's happening in science and these other areas, whereas yours goes back to the reality of institutions and people and concepts that you can understand, but it's so mind-blowing of the, what you lay out. And we're not conspiracy theory people at all here. We'd say there's no conspiracies, but there are also no coincidences. So I want you to go back. What is the theory of the case that you now, with your 110 interviews, and you're going to have, I'm sure, many, many hundreds more, as you pull this together, what is the theory of the case that you are ultimately trying to prove in a courtroom, either there in Germany, in the Netherlands at The Hague, or somewhere in the U.S., in a courtroom somewhere, you're going to one day, with your colleagues, put forward what you say crimes against humanity, but walk us through what it is and what evidence are you going to bring to bear to that?
It is actually pretty simple. The result of all of our hearings, it may my view and our view may change, but I don't think so. So the result of all of our hearings is that this has never been about health. This has never been about health. There is no corona pandemic. Rather, there is a PCR test pandemic. And that's what we're concentrating on. And that's what all of our colleagues in the international group of lawyers are concentrating and focusing on. We have to bring a case which will convince a court of law by listening to our experts that the only basis for this pandemic is the so-called the Drosten PCR test. It's not the Carey Mullis version, because Carey Mullis's PCR test is a great tool. And he, as he over and over explained, it cannot be used for telling us anything about infections. That's the point. And you have to get back to what we learned from the two former WHO employees when they told us that in January of 2020, the WHO was pushed probably by the pharmaceutical industry to declare this public health emergency of international concern, because that's what they needed in order to reach their ultimate goal to vaccinate people with an untested new drug, which is not even a vaccine. That is the only basis for getting this emergency use authorization in the United States and the conditional approval here in Europe. And they didn't have any cases when they first had their first emergency meeting on January 22nd and 23rd. So they decided that they're going to meet again and have another second emergency meeting 2 weeks later. And that's when they declared the public health emergency of international concern. But what had changed? Only one thing. They had cases. How did they come up with cases? Because of the Drosten test. Because in the meantime, Drosten had made his test available to the WHO. The WHO had recommended it to the entire world as the new gold standard for detecting infections. And he had, in fact, created thousands of cases, which, as we now know, are only false positives. They're not cases. So that's why we have to go to a court of law.
and explained to them that the PCR test, the Drudgen PCR test, which was the blueprint for all of the other PCR tests,
hang on one second. But hang on one second. I want to go in that 2 week period between the, because you had a couple things. WHO tweeted out. They say the CCP lied to them, but on the 14th of January, they tweeted out no human-to-human transmission, no community spread, told us by senior people at the Beijing CDC. So they went out. That's a national. You're saying they had the meeting the 22nd, 23rd, couldn't call the national emergency or the global emergency, so it was a two-week period. In that time, they had more than just tests. Didn't they actually have people, particularly I think up in Seattle, Washington, or other places, that were actually not just the test, but they were actually sick, particularly in some of these nursing homes and people come back. Then they have people that actually were ill, had to be confined, and a number of those elderly people eventually died from that. So it was more than just a swab test or more than just a PCR test. You actually had people that had the virus and ultimately died?
That's the big question. What kind of virus was that? Was it corona? Was it the flu? What was it? We don't know, because thus far, all the evidence that we've seen is that those few places where they did have spikes in mortality rates, Bergamo, Italy, and New York, of course, and I think London as well, from what we hear from the doctors who we spoke with, much of this can be attributed to malpractice. I think in many cases, intubation, putting people on a respirator was a mistake. It killed a lot of people. Also, they didn't use the alternative treatments that were available that could have cured many of these people, including ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, et cetera, zinc, vitamin D, all of these things. As far as we know, nothing has been confirmed about these cases having really been corona cases. The people who died off or with COVID, we don't know. Did they really die of COVID?
Hang on one second. I just want to go on the, I think it was the 13th of March. I may be off a day or two. It was a Saturday. President Trump had just come back and he had addressed the nation, I think, on the 11th of March from the Oval Office, where he declared, after Tony Fauci and others starting information, that that same travel ban that he had done for China, he was now going to do for Europe because of the situation, particularly in northern Italy. A couple of days later, he left to go to Norfolk, Virginia, to see the USNS Comfort, come up to New York City to be a field hospital. And they were building field hospitals in Central Park. The New York Times had a story that day from the hospital in Queens, the Queens Hospital that he was very familiar with, and they actually had all the deaths that were happening. And a lot of these people were on incubators or on the intubation, right?
Respirators.
But there was, you looked at the hallways, there's people all over the place. The people inside, the nurses saying it's like emergency, it's like a catastrophe, people are dying. In fact, NBC News picked it up. The president saw that and actually came out going to Marine One and said, I'm thinking of actually quarantining New York like they did Wuhan. And that's one of the things we've been talking on the show about nonstop. When do you actually go there, given the evidence being shown out? I just want to make sure people understand this. You're positing, I'm not trying to put words in it, you're positing that all that stuff and in New York City, what you saw there, what the media reported, what doctors and nurses are talking about, whatever they were dying of, because people are certainly dying, you have the death certificates, right? And you have all the stuff. That they weren't dying of, they were dying of the flu virus, they were not dying of COVID, or they were dying of COVID and it was malpractice about using the respirators?
Yes. Basically, what happened is that the COVID, the anti-corona measures caused the real harm. The last person who we spoke with is a guy who lives, a German epidemiologist by the name of Knut Witkowski, who lives in New York. I think he used to, he was employed by Rockefeller University, Dr. Witkowski. And he explained just precisely that to us. Had politicians not interfered with the coronavirus or whatever virus it is, this thing would have been over in April or maybe May. Because once it goes through a population, this population acquires herd immunity. Now, whatever they did was counterproductive, because if you keep people apart from each other, if you keep them in their homes through lockdowns, the mask mandate, social distancing, the virus won't spread. And that's what happened. That's one of the reasons why so many people, when they also were put in panic mode, because you have to keep this in mind, that's another aspect of this whole story. This is a psychological operation. We have a so-called panic paper, which was written by the German Secretary of the Interior and then leaked to the public. And this is, as this is a lockstep approach, the same thing applies to pretty much all of the other countries. We know it's the same thing is true in England, for example. And I suppose it's true in the United States as well. So people were in panic mode because of this approach. And then many people actually ran and wanted to be saved at the hospitals, people who would otherwise have stayed at home for 5-6 days or so to wait things out, and then they would have recovered, according to this theory, which I think is very, very plausible. And then when they went and when also another thing you have to keep in mind that these things happen every year. My sister is a nurse, and she keeps telling me that we have hospital beds in the hallways of the hospitals. We have white tents. We've seen white tents in New York for the last, I don't know how many years, in front of some of the hospitals. Some hospitals were certainly overwhelmed, but by far not all of them. Because if you remember, the hospital ship, which I think was called the Comfort, which could have had held 1,000 or something patients, I think there were never more than 70 or 80 patients on that ship. So that tells you part of the story. The other part is malpractice, yes.
I want to go to, and we're going to hold you over to the next segment. We're going to go to break here in a couple of minutes. But if you take the, if you think it's a virus and from the Wuhan lab, we are now, as you see, hammering every day as we have now for a year and a half to get to the bottom of what happened in Wuhan lab about gain of function experiments, about all that. So that theory, if it's a virus, there's enough people working on that. You say, hey, it's not, that's not really the pandemic. The pandemic's the PCR test pandemic. What's the rail? If Wuhan's the railhead of what we believe is a CCP virus, in your theory of the case, where's the railhead of the PCR test pandemic?
Well, the, as I explained yesterday, there's certainly an accident at the Wuhan lab. There's certainly, certainly from everything that we've heard in the meantime, gain of function experiments that were going on behind the American taxpayers and your president's back. Yes. And but this accident turned out to be inconsequential. Nothing much happened. However, the other side, those people who had been working on this pandemic plan for at least 10 years and had practiced it the last time in their dry run, which is called the Event 201. They took this opportunity, used it as a springboard or as a triggering point in order to go forward with their agenda. And that's when they told Drosten, that's what we believe, that's when they told Drosten to come up with his PCR test and take this opportunity so that they could start the pandemic. The only thing, the only basis for this pandemic, in our view, from everything we've heard from all of the experts, is the PCR test, nothing else.
Okay.
Because as soon as they Reiner,
one second. I want to get to the punchline right after the break. Take a short commercial break, return to Germany. Reiner Fulmeck, a lawyer who is starting a global investigation into all of this, what he calls a pandemic plan, next in the war room. People used to laugh at preppers. Hey, they ain't not laughing anymore. Listen, if you don't have at least a month's worth of emergency food stored up, you're asking for trouble, and I mean real trouble. This is no time to mess around. We're facing existential threats like never before. So I urge you to do the right thing for you and your family. Take care of your future and take care of it today. Start off by getting a 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's leading preparedness company, and I personally rely on them for my own emergency food supply. Go to preparewithbannon.com. That is preparewithbannon.com and save 25% off their life-saving 4-week food kit. You can trust My Patriot Supply. The food is grown and packaged here in the United States of America, and it lasts up to 25 years in storage. It will be there when you and your family need it. Don't procrastinate. Use your agency. Take action, action, action. Go get your 25% discount off the food that will someday get you through an emergency. Go to preparewithbannon.com. That's preparewithbannon, B-A-N-N-O-N.com. Preparewithbannon.com. Do it now.
War Room, Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room, Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Hi, we're joined in Germany by Rainer Fulmich, a lawyer working on a global case against, against who he's going to tell us. Okay, if the Wuhan incident was the triggering event for this, what you call the PCR test pandemic, the triggering event, you had to have basically a weapon, a bullet, and a hand to pull the trigger. Go back in time. What evidence are you going to bring to bear to show that there was actually a group that was organized enough to actually jump on top of this and to exacerbate this, according to you?
Okay. I'll gladly do that. Allow me two more sentences to explain about the Wuhan leak theory. Why is it so important? Just two sentences. In the fall, winter, spring of next year, when the actual virus, maybe a cold virus, maybe the flu virus, will once again be there and people will run into this virus, all of our experts, for example, the Nobel Prize laureate, Professor Luc Montagnier, the Canadian doctor, Roger Hutchinson, the former vice president of Pfizer, Mike Eden, all of them expect serious damage to as a result of running into this so-called wild virus for all of the people who got vaccinated. Now, in order to distract people's attention from the fact that it's only the vaccinated who will suffer these damages, they need this extremely dangerous virus leaked from the Wuhan lab. That's why it's so important, and that's why it's so important now to go forward with this story. And now to your question. For at least 10 years,
hang on a second. But this makes no sense at all, because the people that are forcing the leak, the problem with your theory right there is the people that are forcing about this leak are not the scientific community. They've said forever it's from the Wuhan lab, and they have had no support. The only reason you're seeing any inadvertently come forward at all is because of the pressure of Dr. Peter Navarro, War Room, Dr. Lee Min-Yen, and others that are saying, hey, and National Pulse, that are showing that incontrovertible facts, that this not just is a lab leak, but this came from, this is man-enhanced. Mm-hmm. It's a man-enhanced gain-of-function weaponized virus that came from Wuhan. Not none of the guys that you're saying part of your conspiracy or whatever at all are coming forward to that. That doesn't make any logic. And if that's the best you got, that's got a massive hole in it right there. Just a hole. Because that statement right there is just categorically not true.
No, Stephen.
So before I go on to the rest, just back that up. Because if you're saying, hey, they got to have this now because of what's going to happen in the future, that dog doesn't hunt unless you can show me where it does hunt. And I think I'm one of the top people that understand the facts here.
Actually, this is two stories in one. One is the Trojan horse for the other story. The first story is absolutely true, makes perfect sense. They uncovered that there was a cover-up. It is absolutely true that there were gain-of-function experiments conducted at the Wuhan Institute of Virology with American taxpayers' money. That's the first story. The second story, which is in this Trojan horse, is that a dangerous virus escaped from that leak. That's what I'm talking about. This is the part of the story that is not true, because as it turned out, as at least according to what we heard from the experts that we spoke with,
that's not what you just said. You just said the lab leak theory that's being pushed is to get some cover for what's going to happen to vaccinated people in the fall. And my point
not
is
the lab
people
leak,
are not
the lab. No, no, not okay. No, Stephen, not okay. The lab leak story. Okay. Only the story about the dangerous virus. That's the story that they need for the fall. Okay. The rest of the story is completely OK.
OK, so go ahead. We got about 4 minutes. Keep going then.
All right. So to answer your original question, for at least 10 years, this we can track this down to at least 2010, a group of very, very rich and powerful people who regularly meet on the occasion of the World Economic Forum. There's other occasions as well, but this is probably the most important one. They're self-proclaimed, this is the self-proclaimed political elite and the self-proclaimed corporate elite. They have been working on this plan, on this corona pandemic plan or any pandemic plan for at least 10 years. The reason why they want this, big question, because this is about control. This is about the other side, as we now call them, or the Davos clique, being afraid that they're going to be found out. These corporations have been looting and plundering, I guess you could put it that way, our taxpayers' money for at least several decades. The last occasion on which they were about to explode or implode, rather, was the financial crisis in 2009-2010. They kind of distracted everyone's attention by starting to print money. In the meantime, we have learned from former investment bankers like Catherine Austin Fitz. She's also a former Assistant Secretary of Housing and Urban Development in the United States. Another investment banker, that it's gotten even worse. In particular, here in Europe, the ECB is completely broke. And the pension funds in particular are completely broke. So they needed another play. They needed something to divert people's attention from their culpability.
Reiner, hang on. This is the Party of Davos, and we're out of time. I need to send people, though. One of the most powerful things I think you've got up is where you actually have some of your evidence and testimony. We got about 30 seconds. Can you tell people how they can get to the hearings and the evidence that you guys have? What's the website, YouTube channel? How do they get to actually see it themselves with their own eyes and make their own decisions? What's the site they go to?
German word for Corona Committee is Corona-Ausschuss. That's spelled AUSSCUSS.DE. DE stands for Germany. But I think there's an English website which has all of the English language hearings that we've conducted. And that's coronainvestigativecommittee.com. But I'm going to send you the links. I'm also going to send you two links to two really important documentaries by James Corbett that'll explain about the entire backdrop of this.
Okay. We're going to continue to follow this, and we're asking Reiner to come back on in other days. This is one of the most important stories in the world. This is a very serious player. You're going to make your own decision. What do you think? He's absolutely onto something, or stark raving mad, but that's what this show is about. I want to thank Reiner Fulmick joining us today from Germany. We'll be back today at 5 o'clock. We're going to be at the Arizona talking about the audit and talking about the border. 5 o'clock.